The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week on Dueling Review, it's Star Trek Mirror War number 0 from IDW Publishing. Following the failure of the attempt to steal ships from the Prime Universe, Picard and the Mirror crew are called back to Earth to report to the Emperor personally, so long as they can survive the trip. We need to talk about some Star Trek stuff. Oh, this is the week of Star Trek here at Major Spoilers, because if you did not listen to the Major Spoilers podcast this week, you are missing out, because number one, we talked about Star Trek versus Transformers. And number two, you also missed out on listening to the Major Spoilers pre-show, which we bundled as part of the show, so that you could see what you're missing when you don't become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. So we're going to continue Star Trek this week, because can you believe it? It was like a 6-way tie for first place. And so I had to make the executive decision that, well, Star Trek is one of the ones in the top spot, so let's do this. We are going back to the Mirror Universe and this Mirror War in Star Trek. I think the last time that they did a Mirror War storyline, Barclay basically jumped his counterpart and decided to hide out in the Mirror Universe. And that's kind of what this number zero issue is all about, is the fact that they didn't bring any of the Enterprise ships back with them from the Prime Universe. And now Picard is in trouble with the High Command. And then at some point they do this really kind of hand waving off panel. Let's go grab us a Barclay and wrap the issue.
Yeah.
Probably is part of a regular Mirror War story comic somewhere, like a 1 or a 2 or a 5 or something. Unfortunately, we're in this time where, you know, all comics start with issue number one, and then X amount of time into it, they're like, you know what? What if we did a zero issue that takes place before the events of number one? So oftentimes we see today that the number zero issue is actually issue 37 or something like that, but they just want to screw up comic book shops around the world and their catalog system to make you think that it's something that came out first when it's not. So I have a feeling that that Barclay story is told somewhere else.
Could be. It was a very puzzling moment in the comic where they're like, okay, we're going to have a big action sequence, and then they cut to the next panel. Meanwhile, after the big action sequence.
Yeah. That was maybe probably the most disappointing part of the entire piece. But hey, we get to go back into the to the Mirror Universe. You enjoy the Mirror Universe, do you, Matthew?
I like it. I feel like the Mirror Universe concept, the original concept, was great. I liked it when they did it in Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time Enterprise was doing Mirror Universe stuff, I was kind of over it. Because, I mean, you get to a point where you have to reverse engineer everything. And in a world where people are being murdered, the odds of the same team staying on the Enterprise for months or years at a time, when you literally kill your way to the top, it just seems like somebody would have murdered Riker long before this. I don't know. But, you know, that's always the complaint that you have. If you pull at a thread like that, the whole thing comes apart. So, I mean, in good faith, I can't be that guy. But yeah, I love the original Mirror Universe story with Nimoy and a little goatee.
I didn't dislike this story. Mirror Universe, Mirror Mirror was, you know, a fantastic Star Trek episode back in the day, and really opened up this idea about what if Kirk but evil? What if, you know, Spock but evil? What if Uhura but sexy, sexier? You certainly get that going forward. And if it was only that time after time, if it was only what if Picard but evil, what if Riker but evil, what if Data but evil, that would get really old really quick, I think. But what I think that they've done, and what I like about at least this issue, and I don't know about any of the other Mirror stories that are going on currently in the Next Generation storyline, What I like is that we're getting more world building in this. We get to see that, all of these other groups have banded together and they're actively going against the Federation. And the Federation is
the Empire, yeah.
Yeah, is basically on the verge of collapse if they don't find a way to build up their fleet so that they can go and battle everyone else. And to me, that is the most fascinating part of this, is that the Empire is on its last days. And, you know, there is some infighting, but you see these enclaves of people who are leaders like Picard, who are able to gather people around him who are loyal enough that they don't want to stab him in the back. Although there is some mysterious person on the ship who's trying to kill Picard in this mm-hmm. issue. And so that's what I dug about this issue. Not necessarily all of the other stuff.
Yep. So I have done a little bit of digging, and you are correct. The part of the story that we don't see was actually presented in 2019 in the Next Generation Terra Incognita miniseries. So this Zero issue apparently is meant to let us see what happened on the other side of the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
Back in that storyline. So, yeah.
Yep.
I like it. I mean, the biggest problem that I have with this issue is the fact that Jean-Luc Picard is a man in his 50s and throughout this story is built like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I'm like, okay, he grew up in this world. But then I start looking at the builds of other characters and it really feels like we're getting a lot of superhero build rather than Star Trek build out of the characters.
Yeah, and I think that has to do, though, and I think Picard says it or something when he is when he gets shot by the arrow, something about if I don't work out and I don't convey this idea that I'm strong, people will perceive me as weak. And I think it is that survival of the fittest, because so much of how you advance in the Empire is by killing your enemy. So if you're stronger than your enemy, you will survive. So, yes, it was a little kind of,
if you put up a facade of strength, even if you're weak, people won't attack you.
Yeah. So I kind of dig the idea behind, you know, buff Picard. But at the same time, it does look kind of silly. Because I can't imagine the actor actually being Sir Patrick Stewart. I can't imagine him being big and buff like that in real life, because every time you've ever seen him, he's always very slight. So,
right.
Yeah.
He's not a big, broad man. And you know that, you know, when you look at the sequence where he and Wright go to San Francisco to what should be Starfleet Academy, but is actually the Imperial Palace. Woo.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, so Riker is 6 inches taller than Jean-Luc Picard in the main universe.
Sure.
At no point in this book does it feel like that is true in the Mirror Universe. And again, you know, we complain about likenesses, and I complain.
Picard has inserts.
Yeah, go ahead.
He has inserts.
Does he?
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
I complain about likenesses, but in a lot of cases, it's not necessarily the face doesn't look right, or, you know, that, hey, this doesn't look like Brent Spiner. It's a question of this character doesn't seem to have a build or a body or even, you know, anything that implies Jean-Luc Picard other than being super bald, which I guess, you know, that's it's really hard to do these alternate reality things and have something different to do every time. So I appreciate that they gave Geordi big transformer bug eyes. And I appreciate that, you know, Data is like a GoBot. I don't appreciate that Troy is a slinky, slinky murder vixen, but you know, it's the Mirror Universe. That's a something that happens in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah. That's how a lot women are portrayed in that Mirror Universe.
Yeah. I mean, Kira actually did a milk bath on screen in Deep Space Nine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like literally lying in a tub naked, covered in, you know, this creamy substance that was barely covering her. And the actress was just like, yes, it was hours of murder because they had to put these little pasties on me so that nothing would ever show. And it was just, you know, I get it. I just don't necessarily like it because that's a 50-year-old trope now, you know. And I'm kind of tired of the evil femme fatale. I understand why it's here. You know, it fits the story, and I don't feel like it's a giant red flag or anything, but I just don't care for it.
Okay. The one thing that it really kind of, I guess, is off-putting for me is not the tropes or not the stereotypes of what you might expect from the leader, from, you know, the sexy lady, from the other thing. I was really off put by the costuming, because at some point costuming has to change, but the costuming still looks very much the same as it did in Mirror Mirror, at least as far as the aesthetic goes. And it doesn't look like it really has changed that much. And I was hoping for a little bit something different there, but it looks like everybody's still wearing a sash and everybody still has this kind of a uniform, and it hasn't changed in 50 years. And so, you know, it to me, that feels rather stagnant. But then again, maybe because the Empire has been constantly bombarded from all sides, maybe they haven't had a chance to advance.
It's possible. I mean, the Klingon-Cardassian alliance has nearly destroyed the Empire at this point, or at least knocked their territory back to pretty much Earth and the Earth system. But I feel like this is okay, but I also don't feel like I'm super thrilled. You know, I don't know any way to you know, say it other than this is a well-drawn book, and I feel like, you know, nothing is out of place, out of character. As always, you know, when you get a book that's written by the Tipton brothers, they know there's Star Trek.
Yeah, they do.
They know there's Star Trek to the point where, you know, okay, we're going to rank this ship and we need to look for dilithium crystals and biomimetic gel and all these other things. And I'm like, yeah, these are all important references to, you know, moments in the book. And of course, one of the people on this away mission is Ensign Sonia Gomez from like season 3 of Next Gen, who was Geordi's girlfriend for a minute. And I'm like, yeah, she saved Riker's life. Yay, Ensign Gomez. And then she walks away. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's a spark missing or something. Part of it, I'm sure, is that it is a zero issue.
Yeah.
And this is meant to be, you know, this is backstory. This is world building for what's going to happen in the upcoming limited series.
Right.
But I also feel like context, you know, when you say one extremely violent away mission later, you could easily put a Jim Shooter asterisk that says, as seen in this other Star Trek comic.
Right, right.
That, I think, might help. I don't know. It's not for me, certainly.
I enjoyed it enough to as much as I enjoy Star Trek. I'm not a huge fan of Star Trek or Star Wars. I like both. If you were to say, Steven, would you rather want to watch a Star War or would you rather watch a Star Trek? I would pick the Star War. But if you were to say, oh, let me quiz you now on how big of a fan of the Star Wars you are, I would not. I would be like, you must just be one of them fake fans that only say that you like the Star Wars. But it's literally been part of my life since forever, just like Star Trek has as well. I don't know why I don't have a bigger connection to Star Trek. It is a little bit more cerebral, which is good. It is trying to reflect society, which I think is good. So that being said, I can't say that fans of Star Trek will love this or fans of Star Trek will hate this. I think if you're a fan of Star Trek, you'll appreciate this. I mean, obviously IDW and Paramount would not constantly be going back to the Mirror Universe if it wasn't a fan favorite. And if there weren't stories to tell in the Mirror Universe, they wouldn't be doing this. So from my perspective, this is kind of a refresher to just kind of say, hey, these guys have a way to easily get back and forth to Star Trek Prime Universe so that they can go and get a Barclay like you saw 3 years ago. You know, so that they can go and try to steal spaceships like that may be part of this upcoming series. So from that point, I think that this issue succeeds in giving you that. Here's what you didn't know. And here's what's prepping you for things to come. So from that standpoint, I think this is a very successful issue. I think if you're a fan of Star Trek, I think this is, and especially the Star Trek comics, I think this is probably worth picking up. I'm kind of interested just to see, you know, what is prompting the war. I kind of want a highlight reel of this series when it's done, right? I kind of want to know all the beats. I don't think I want to spend all the time reading all of the issues that are part of it. Even if it's a 6-issue mini, I think give me the TLDR highlights of this is kind of where I'm sitting. So there you go.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. It's, if you said, Steven, if our dear listeners, like Jimmy or who else is in here, Olin or Jimbo Fett or the Marshall is in there. Mm-hmm. Nick is also in there this week as well. If all of you guys rallied and said, you know what, when Star Trek Mirror War number one comes out, we're going to make those guys read that one again. I'd be like, okay, no problem. I don't have a problem reading this stuff. And certainly IDW and other publishers send us this stuff for free anyway. So it's not like I'm diving into my own, except for DC Comics. I have no problem just reading this. I don't know if I am $3.99 committed to reading this, which is kind of where I'm at on that. So yes, if you were to give it to me and say, read it, I'd read it and I'd probably enjoy it. But I'm not a Star Trek enough of a fan to be slavishly, oh, I got to follow everything and know all of the things to really embrace this, you know, wholeheartedly.
And so. Yeah. And Star Trek has a much broader palette to absorb. I mean, we're looking at what, 7 ongoing series and a cartoon and like 9 movies. And whereas with Star Wars, it's 9 movies that basically tell the same 3 stories over and over. So, I mean, basically if you're not related to a Skywalker, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, but it's easier to get into the canonical movie Star Wars material because there isn't as much of it. And that may be part of it too. You know, I don't know when we get to a point where this isn't the first alternate mirror universe that I've run into. I don't think it's even the 3rd or 4th. I mean, I've read a book where Spock took over the Empire. And then of course we've had the Deep Space Nine stories. We've had the Enterprise stories. Apparently Discovery did a whole mirror universe arc.
Yeah, that was the whole, Spock's that was a lot of the whole basis.
Ended up being the evil girl.
Yeah, that was kind of the basis of that first season of that, is my understanding. But, you know, I am not Star Trek enough. I'm not enough of a Star Trek fan to jump onto that Paramount Plus network to watch it. I'm interested in it. And if you were to say, hey, Steven, this was on regular old broadcast television or this was on a Hulu or something that you already subscribed to, yeah, I'd probably watch it. But I'm not willing to pay for it, unfortunately. And I know a lot of people are like, well, how dare you even talk about Star Trek anyway? I can talk about Star Trek. I watch it enough. I watched all the original series. I watched all the Next Generation. I watched most of Deep Space Nine and the Voyager. And I got to see bits of Enterprise when it first came out. So, you know, I'm familiar with that. I've seen all of the Star Trek movies and it's enjoyable. It's good fun. Let me just say that Star Trek is good fun. And I think Mirror War number 0 is good enough fun for Star Trek fans. And so if you're into it, go get it. If you're not, don't bother.
Yeah, I would agree.
Marshall says he loves Voyager.
Yeah, Voyager's a good show. Did Voyager did some Mirror Universe stuff too, I think.
I have no idea.
But yeah, I really feel like this is a book for not just the fans, but the super fans. You know, the people who really, really love and want to dig into their Star Trek. And you know, I want to know, first of all, who is the fat comatose emperor? Is that Kirk?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I was thinking, tried to look into it to see if maybe it was Harry Mudd.
Oh, I was thinking maybe it was Pike, but who knows?
Yeah, Pike would be, and Pike would make sense considering that Pike ended up in his chair there.
Comatose guy that everyone else had to prop up, so.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have no idea. But
yeah, I would say that if I were to recommend this, it would be to people who love Star Trek.
Jimbo Fett is already correcting us. He's saying that Pike was killed by Kirk. So, see, Jimbo Fett is a bigger... Jimbo would be the one that's yelling at us, going, you're not real count. Star Trek fans!
It doesn't count unless you say, I'm actually Jimbo. I'm sorry.
I like that Jimbo Fett is such a Star Trek fan that he is, his symbol is Boba Fett. So yeah.
Worst Boba Fett ever.
All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's a challenge for Jimbo. Jimbo, the biggest Star Trek fan in the room. Find me the name
of the Emperor?
Of the comatose fat Emperor. Yeah. And you will win no prize.
Yeah. Or maybe you'll win a prize. Who knows? I think, although I think you're probably, I can't remember if Jimbo's in the US or not. So anyway, how did Jimbo Fett arrive here? Well, dear listener, we record this show live Thursday nights, 8 o'clock PM Central Time. You can adjust your clock based on your location and your world, to figure out the exact time you should show up. And then you need to come into our super secret Discord channel where you can hang out with all the other cool kids and listen to us record the show live and talk amongst ourselves. In fact, Jimmy came on earlier and we did some trivia. I'll pin that trivia segment to the end of this show so you can kind of see some of the things that you are missing. The only way that you can get into listen to this show live on Thursday nights is by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Mm-hmm. Silver level and higher get you access to all of the hidden channels, except for maybe the VIP live chat, in which you have to be a gold level member and higher. But you want to come in and get access to our GM roundtable. You want to come in and listen to us record Dueling Review live. You want to come in and talk to people about what's going on in Critical Hit a week ahead, because you get access to that a week ahead. Then you can most certainly do it. And the reason why you at least want to become a patron over at patreon.com/majorspoilers, even at the $1 level, is because then you get to vote on the comic that we will review next week. Matthew, tell them how it works.
You go to our Patreon page, which will be easy because you're already a patron, patreon.com/majorspoilers. You will find a list, and that list will say comics for what, September 14th?
September 2021? 15th, 2021, coming out from the Boom Studios. It is Maw number 1, Power Rangers number 11, and Seven Secrets number 12. Dark Horse Comics next week has a short week. They have Hellboy and the BPRD 1957 Family Ties One Shot. I've already got an advanced copy of that one. It's very good. Also, there is another Hellboy comic not coming out next week from Dark Horse that they had sent me that looks really good. Also, Savage Hearts number 3 and Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Gerald Manticore figure. That's $60 if you want to pick that thing up. Dynamite Entertainment next week has Betty Page and the Curse of the Banshee number 4. Invincible Red Sonja number 4. That's when she finds out that her father is really evil and she has to go and figure out how to destroy him. Also, Vampiverse number 1 and Vengeance of Vampirilla number 21 arrives next week from Dynamite Entertainment. IDW Publishing. IDW Publishing has Bermuda number 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 44, and let's see. Oh, Star Wars, The High Republic Adventures, Monster Temple Peak number 2 of 4. I don't know why it's called Monster Temple Peak, but that's the way it is. Image Comics next week has Deep Beyond number 8, Jupiter's Legacy Requiem number 4, Primordial number 1, Scumbag number 10, and Time Before Time number 5. Marvel Comics next week has Black Widow number 11, Fantastic Four number 35, Fantastic Four Life Story number 4 of 6. Ooh, Kang the Conqueror number 2 comes out next week. We're going to find out what he does when he confronts his ancient Egyptian ruler self. Marauders number 24, Star Wars Darth Vader number 16, Star Wars Bounty Hunter Bosch number 1, and X-Men Trial of Magneto number 2. That whole X-Men thing is coming to an end, Matthew. That whole, thing on the X-Men is quickly wrapping up here in the next, I think by the end of this year is when it wraps up completely. But will it wrap up completely? Who knows?
Nothing ever cripes up completely.
Exactly. In all the rest category, we have Blade Runner Origins number 6, Chess number 3, Cherry Blackbird number 2, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess graphic novel volume 9, that's a $9.99 collection, Maria Lovett's Porcelain number 2, Nine Stones number 2, again, a very heavy person, Nobody's Child number 1, White number 3, and Yo-Kai Watch graphic novel volume 18, also $9.99. Now, I know what you're thinking. What about the DCs? We have not forgot the DCs. Next week, we have Batman Night Watch number 1. That's a free issue over on Comixology. We also have Batman 89 issue number 2. Oh, look, we get to see Harvey Dent, and it's good old Lando Calrissian in that role. I kind of like that. I really like that. I wish they could have brought him back to be Two-Face instead of
Cold 45.
Yeah, instead of what's his name. Right. Also, Batman the World is a graphic novel that has like 16 different stories about the Batman of many nations. But there's also a number one issue that is completely free next week. So you might want to check that out just to get a taste of what is going on. Lots of Batman stuff. Batman Fortnite number one, Detective Comics 639, an old reprint there. Future State number five. Let's see. I Am Batman number one. I Am Batman. Also, The Joker number seven, The Joker Presents number six, The Director's Cut, and number eight. And then we also have Pennyworth number two. Rorschach number 12, I think. Is that the final issue on that one, Matthew?
Yes, I believe so.
So there you go. You've got that coming up as well as Wonder Woman 779. What's it going to be, dear listeners? That's up to you to decide. Head over to patreon.com, cast your vote. I'll tabulate them up early Sunday morning. And then next week we will be back right here Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m., when you will hear Matthew say,
let me sleep on it. Oh, baby, baby, let me sleep on it.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Hi, got a
brother. Jimmy incoming.
I'm calling you.
I've already accepted you, Jimmy.
Wonder who is calling
I don't know if the delay
phone.
Is always on
there
the user end or if there is a... If there's a longer delay just because of Discord, but Jimmy's here. Jimmy has some trivia questions for us.
Blame it on Jimmy.
Yeah. Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now, yep. Jimmy.
Beautiful.
You got some questions right. for us. Knock us out of the park.
Some of this character's villains include The Onion and Dr. Blemish, with the latter being
the carrot.
What was that?
The flaming carrot?
No, nope. With the latter being the nemesis of this character's friend, Professor Keen Bean. His other friends include Freckles, Pee-wee, and his girlfriend, Gloria. This character first appeared in the pages...
Richie Rich.
Yes, Richie Rich is correct. Nicely done. This character never appeared on the cover of a comic book until 14 years after his creation by Mort Weisinger and Paul Norris, probably due to the fact that he continually appeared in the same comics as bigger-named heroes like Green Arrow and Superboy. He finally snapped the cover streak. Yes. Nicely done.
Who's Aquaman?
Who is Aquaman?
I am Aquaman. You better not mess around.
I also could have accepted either Orin or Arthur Curry. This character has an uncle named Arthur who lived in London. For a time, it was thought that a woman named Joyce Delaney was using this character's identity. In the series X Statics Presents Dead Girl, this character, along with Mockingbird and Moira McTaggart, can be seen in heaven as members of the Dead Sisters Book Club. During the events of the House of M, she does not die, but instead becomes a peace activist, with Mary Jane Watson playing her in a movie. According to the Sins Past storyline, this character has children named Gabriel and Sarah with Norman Osborn.
Gwen Stacy.
Yes. That is
they
correct.
They just retconned that, actually.
Oh, nice.
This week. Yeah, it was a clone of Gwen who had babies with Gwen, or with Norman Osborn.
That is slightly less skeezy, maybe.
Not really.
Yes, clone would be even younger than the 19-year-old girl she was supposed to be.
Oh, goodness. That's a good point. Okay, that's worse then.
Yep.
This man's first work in comics was for the Twilight Zone comic book, although his first work for Marvel was for John Carter, Warlord of Mars. In the 1990s, he created the comic Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot, which became a short-lived animated cartoon. Shoot, what is his name? He also wrote the scripts for the movie RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3. This
Frank
man...
Miller.
Yes. I did not realize that he did Big Guy and Rusty the Boy Robot. That's really cool.
Yeah, maybe Jeff Darrow. I don't remember who did the art, but I only remember the artist.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. All right.
He also did Holy Terror, which makes me mad.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's less exciting. That was the one of the giveaway clues.
That was Holy Terror.
This,
that's funny.
Yeah, this character has a daughter named Bonnie Braids and a daughter-in-law named Moon Maid, who was killed by assassins with a car bomb. He has another son named
Dick Tracy.
Yeah, nicely done, first sentence. For a brief time period in the late 1980s, this comic was converted into a weekly anthology that featured characters like Wild Dog and the Secret Six. This
what
comic
is
could,
Action Comics?
Yes. In this character's first appearance, J. Jonah Jameson calls him the most newsworthy thing to happen to New York since Boss Tweed. This character's old acquaintances include Burt Kenyon, who saved this man's life and eventually became an assassin for hire. Near the end of his first appearance, Spider-Man muses that this man's problems make Spidey's look like a birthday party. This man was born in Queens to Italian parents who anglicized their last name when he was six. While
Who's
serving
the Punisher?
Yes, indeed. The characters of this comic were introduced in DC Comics Presents number 47 when Superman came to their world. This comic was published by
Who
both
are the Omega Men.
No.
Masters of the Universe. I'm so
yes.
sorry.
Yes. Yes.
I had the wrong issue of DC Presents.
I am always impressed how you remember specific issues and what happened in them. That is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't know my wife's social security number, though.
Well, you got to pick and choose your battles.
Exactly. You got to know what you know.
Lesser known members of this group include Richard Renslayer, who became the villainous overrider to eliminate all nuclear weapons to please his son, Carl Delandon, who became corrupt and was dismissed, and Gail Runciter, who once tried to flirt with Captain America. According to the Marvel Handbook, members of this group always carry a 20-inch garrote reel, a knife in their boot, and a thermite bomb in their belt pouch.
Who are the Legion of Substitute Heroes?
Matthew is correct with S.H.I.E.L.D., but I love the idea of the Legion carrying garrote reels.
Right. Can you imagine Infectious Lass trying to choke the life out of somebody?
Yes, I can.
All right. In the Superman Super Spectacular, Superman recruits this man to pose as Clark Kent on his television program alongside Superman to preserve his secret identity. This man also knew Superboy, contacting him for assistance using a signal lamp. He met Supergirl when she arrived on Earth, urging her to fight crime and to preserve world peace. In Superman number 170, this man recruits Superman's help to promote a physical fitness initiative in order to close the muscle gap.
Who is John F. Kennedy?
Yes.
That's what I was going to say, but I just couldn't imagine that it was a fake.
I was going to say that at the first
answer,
yeah,
the very
too,
first one. Like, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. And then I second-guessed myself. There. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were mad when we covered that issue.
I know. It was dumb.
In Legion Clubhouse.
It was dumb.
In the past, this character entered a sharpshooting competition with his future nemesis, but they were both defeated by Sure Shot. This character was seemingly killed fairly early in his comic when his nemesis cheated in a video game duel. However, thanks to Ethan Zachary, he was revived and later adopted the new identity of Power Master. This character arrived on Earth.
Optimus Prime.
Yes, that is correct.
Backed up his brain on a 5-inch or 3-inch floppy disk. Kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a simple brain.
Yeah.
This comic was first seen in the pages of a newsletter in the California College of Arts and Crafts. It has been published by such companies as Fishwrap, Comico, and Fantagraphics. This comic's first stories saw the main characters battling a volcano god cult in Monkeys Violating the Heavenly Temple. Later stories saw the characters conducting an exorcism at the supermarket and finding a world totally ruled by children. In 2007, this comic won a Best Digital Comic Award for a web storyline called The Big Sleep. This comic also appeared in The Adventurer, the newsletter for LucasArts customers, which was appropriate because its characters may be best known for appearing in a 1993 LucasArts game that saw them investigating a missing Bigfoot. For 10 points,
who
identify
Sam
this.
And Max Freelance Precise.
Yes, nicely
that one
done.
Took forever.
Yeah, that
forever.
Was.
Forever.
That was an obscure one. It's probably the hardest one that's in this packet.
I love me some Sam and Max.
Nice. One more, Jimmy.
All right.
One more, Jimmy.
A character with this name appeared in a self-titled 1953 story by Stan Lee and Bill Everett, published in the comic book Menace. That same character
who was a zombie.
Yes. Nicely done.
There you go.
Oh, I love the zombie.
Some good questions there, Jimmy. How many of those did you get right during trivia night?
I would have gotten probably about a third to half of those right.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
Very good. Very good. All right.
Menace number five, by the way, was the first appearance of Simon Garth, the zombie.
Nice. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Thank you. See ya.
Yeah.